Lord, I was mindful this week as we were, as I was preparing this message and talking to our staff about the message of just the beauty of Christmas, that you came in the flesh to live among us so that we could actually have a personal relationship with you. That you're not a God who is far off, you're a God who is near and present. And we are just so grateful for that. And so as we look to your word now and look at this message, we ask that you would guide and direct us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have to let you know that this is a little bit of a different message this morning. If you are visiting and new, this is what we call more of a topical sermon, which means we have something that we want to talk about that the scripture refers to and will address, but we're not looking at a specific one passage and working our way through it, which is what we normally do. So we've been in a series through the book of John where we just go from one section to the next. Today will be a little bit different, and whenever I do something a little bit different, I always want to tell you, because if you're visiting especially, we want you to know that our main diet is taking we'll call it expository preaching, where we take a passage and we just dig deep into it. Today we're going to look at something a little bit different, and I'm going to share a couple of stories with you to start out, all right? So listen up for these stories and see if you can find the common piece to these two stories. I'm going to share two stories with you, and there's a common piece. You might see several similarities, but I think you'll get my point after I get done, but you look for the common piece. The first one is the birth of my oldest child. My oldest son just turned 29 last week, and I used to work at Northwestern College down in the Twin Cities, and I was the chaplain, the campus pastor there. And one day, while Sherry was pregnant with Zach, I was down in the cafeteria having lunch with a group of students, which is common and what I would normally do. And my administrative assistant came down to the cafeteria and said, "Hey, Sherry just called, and it sounds like kind of an emergency. She was at the doctor's office that day for a routine checkup, and she needs you to call her back." So I race up to the office. I call her at the doctor's office, and we found out that there's some complications, and she was going to have to go on bed rest. Now, the good news is everything turned out well. Zach came a month early at 6 pounds, 10 ounces. If you know anything about that size, I mean, you can hold him in two hands just like that. So, very big side note, I always say that the birth of my first child totally changed my understanding of the Christmas story. That whole silent night, holy night, all that kind of stuff, forget about it, man. You know, when a baby comes into the world, there's some hard stuff that comes along with that, okay? And so Jesus was born just like every other baby. So it changed my whole understanding of the Christmas story. But I go up to my office, I call her, and we hear the news that she has to go on bed rest. Okay, so that's one story. Here's a second story. A few months ago, I'm watching a TV show, an old show. Didn't seem old to me because it was from the late 90s, but this show was one of the cutting-edge shows in the 90s. It was popular. It was well done. All the photography, everything like that, and the video was all great stuff. And one scene, this doctor is driving home at night, and there's this torrential downpour, and there's a flooding going on. And a little boy runs out into the street and stops him. And he says, "My brother's caught in a storm drain." And so the doctor runs to the storm drain and tries to get the boy out. Can't get him out. He needs to get help. So he says to his brother, "You stay here and watch him, keep him company." And he runs, and he's running down the street trying to find help. And he finds something. He actually grabs the tire wrench from his car, and he runs up to an office and smashes the window and goes in and calls 911. Okay, so do you see the common piece there? That some of you who are really young are going, "Why didn't you just use your cell phone?" Right? Why didn't we use our cell phones? Because they didn't exist, right? So I'm watching this show and I'm going, "Dude, use your cell phone." And the dude doesn't have a cell phone. And he goes and he smashes a window. Now, if you're a media fan, you also know that the way they solve that in current movies is, how many times is your cell phone out of battery? Well, when you need it the most, right? So every movie now, every TV show now, they're in a crisis. And, "Oh, my cell phone has no battery." And so they get back into the same thing that they have to try to find a solution without the cell phone. All right, right about now you're asking, "All right, Pastor, what is this all about? Why are you talking about cell phones during Advent season?" That's a good question. And maybe in one sense, a cell phone doesn't have much to do with Advent and Christmas. In another sense, it's become a massive influence in the time that we live in. Digital media, whether it be a phone, gaming systems, the computer, all of that has become a massive influence in the culture that we live in. One of the things that we've been talking about as a pastoral staff the last few months is that this is the time in history that God has sovereignly placed us as individuals and as a church. Let me say that again. This is the time in history that God in his sovereignty has placed us and a church. This is our time. Now, have you ever thought that you'd like to have lived in a different time? How many have ever thought of that like that? You lived in a different time, all right? I always wanted to live in the Old West. I wanted to be a cowboy, right? I wanted to live in cowboy times. The only little problem I had is when I was 31 years old, I had a pretty significant medical issue that 100 years ago I would have been dead. And so thinking back to be a cowboy, I wouldn't have lived very long if I lived back in that time. So it's kind of an irrational thought there, but we all think like that. Oh, I wish I'd been maybe this time and this time. But God has placed us at this time in history. And while we look back to learn and grow, we're called to live in the present and in the future. I can't do anything about changing the things that happened in the past. I can learn from it and grow from it. But I'm to live right now in the context of the present and then what's coming in the future. All that to say, one of the elements that is part of our reality and the experience that we're living in is the massive growth and change in what we call the digital world. And it has a whole lot of positive benefits that come with it, but there's a whole lot of distractions that come with it as well. And what we know about those distractions now is that there are more and more serious consequences for our souls as Christians in our relationship with Jesus. Now, again, for some of you who are younger, it's hard to imagine that there was ever a time that we didn't have the kind of digital world that we have now, but it's really not that old. And so what we're starting to see and starting to learn with all the positives that are with it, there are some things that are distractions, and there's some things that can actually wear at our souls. And what we want to do in this series is to not bash technology, but remind us of the importance of taking care of our souls and the importance of growing in our relationship with Jesus. You can't just stand still and hope that you're moving forward. What are the things that we need to be thinking about in our growth in our relationship with Jesus? And what we also want to talk about is how our current technological context, these resources that can benefit us, can also destroy us. That's a pretty heavy statement. But I think if you're honest and you stop and see how it's impacted your life, there's been some really positive things and there's probably been some negative things. I know my own journey, just my attention span. I'll sit down and watch a TV show. You guys don't call them that anymore. Watch a show or a program. And as I'm watching, I'm also like, what's going on Facebook? Oh, I missed that. I got to rewind because I missed what they just said. Okay. And we spend a lot of time jumping around and being distracted. We find it even sometimes when my son is talking to me and I'm looking at my phone and then I got to stop, put it away so I can hear and engage and talk to him. All right, so where are we going today? Here's where we're going to go. We're all being formed spiritually. The question is by what and who. So what we want to be focusing on is this, that we all are being formed. We can never be neutral. There's always something forming us spiritually and personally. The question is, what is forming us and who? And what we want to be talking about is our discipleship, our growing into maturity in our relationship with Christ. To having a mature relationship with Christ won't happen without us being intentional. Excuse me. And without us acknowledging that we are being formed by something. And are we going to choose to be formed by the things that will help us mature in Christ? So that's one thing I want to hit today. The second thing is to remind us that we're filled with the Spirit of Christ. That you and I, if we put our faith in Christ, we are filled with the Spirit of the living Christ. And that matters in this whole question about the digital world, and that matters in all that we're going to talk about today. The second thing is we're called to put on or be obedient to the mind of Christ. So that's the third thing we're going to talk about today, that we're supposed to put on and then be obedient to the mind of Christ. Fourth, we're going to focus on, we are called to think about certain things, and we saw this in the passage that Alyssa just read, and to not fill our minds with certain things. We're called to fill them with certain things and not fill them with certain things. The other part I want us to talk about today is that how do we use the digital world in ways that help us grow in our relationship with God, not hinder? And then finally, to not allow the digital world to consume our minds by things that distract us from walking in the Spirit and putting on the mind of Christ. Things that keep us from knowing the person and the presence of Christ. Christ comes into the world at Christmas, that's when we celebrate it, so that we can know him and know him personally and have a personal relationship with him and actually be filled with his Spirit and filled with his presence. And to what we want to talk about is to, in our time, the time that we're living in, the digital world can distract us and can actually be on the negative side of us putting on the mind of Christ, us knowing Christ, us experiencing the presence of Christ. All right, so you're with me? Don't lose me. And don't say, oh, I don't want to talk about technology, okay? That's not what we're really talking about today, actually. We're talking about growing and knowing Christ and knowing him well. So, how does that all work with Christmas? Well, Jesus came in person, was present so that we could know him personally, like I said, so we could have a real and true relationship with him. We hear it right at the beginning of the Christmas story in Matthew chapter 1. The angel says you should name him Jesus, which means God with us. So God coming in the flesh to be with us. But here's the thing. And if you've lost me, come back on this one because this is really important. So God comes in the flesh so that we can know him. But there's an enemy. And this enemy has been devising schemes and ways to distract us and lead us away from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ ever since Christ came into the world. Actually, even before that, right? From the very beginning of time when he was created and he rebelled against God, from that time on, the enemy was trying to destroy the things that God was trying to create and what God was trying to do. So I want you to see that this morning. It's not just something new. This is not new. This is something that's been happening forever. It's just looked differently. It's looked differently throughout history where an enemy says, these are the people of God and I don't want them to mature and grow and know him better. So I'm going to do certain things to try to destroy them, distract them, and to defeat them. And so part of what I'm hoping to do is to call us this Advent season to examine the decisions that we make in regard to our interactions with the digital world and how that's forming us and distracting us from a mature and vibrant relationship with the real and living Christ. That's what I want you to hear today, that we desire as our church to see people have a mature and vibrant relationship with the real and living Christ. Not with a digital world, but a real and living Christ. Okay, so here's the text we're going to look at, and I invite you to write these down. You can look at these throughout the week and ponder on these a little bit. But here's the first text that we're going to look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Here's how one commentator put it. If our bodies belong to Jesus, we also have no right to be idle with our wasteful of what belongs to him. Our bodies should be put to use glorifying God. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Charles Spurgeon, now listen to this. Charles Spurgeon was a preacher who lived from 1834 to 1892. So this is back in the cowboy days, right? This is back. Listen to what he says. Your body was a willing horse when it was in the service of the devil. Let it not be a sluggish hack now that it draws the chariots of Christ. Isn't that a great way to say it? And he's living in a time, right? He's living in a time that we'd think, oh, that must have been so peaceful and so quiet and no distractions. And he's saying, hey, it's the same thing. When you were in the flesh and not a follower of Jesus, you were a willing horse to go wherever the devil took you. I just love this picture. Let us not be a sluggish hack now that we're drawing the chariots of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Here's also another commentator says it like this. The Holy Spirit who is in you, because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, God himself lives within us. This means we have the strength and the power over the sins of the flesh living within us. So we have this battle going on inside of us, but sometimes we live like the old nature is stronger. What this passage is saying is that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit of the living God. We have the power of the living God living in us, and so we can use that to push back against the ways of the devil, the temptations of the devil, our own sinful nature, all of those things. We have more power because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And so because of all that, I can't just say, well, I'm just going to sit and do whatever I want to here, or my game controller, or I'm going to meddle here a little bit. Okay, ready? Or CNN or Fox running all the time, forming my thinking. Or fantasy books, romance novels, crime novels, or you fill in the blank. You fill in the blank with the things that might be distracting you from having the Spirit of the living God form you into maturity in Christ. Because there's a lot of things, while we're talking about digital, when I'm talking about phones, and I'm talking about gaming systems, and computers, I also want us to think even broader of all the things that we can have outside of us that distract us from growing and maturing in Christ. Now, all of these things used properly can be really good tools. I'm not saying I'm never going to scroll again, okay? Don't hear me say that. I'm going to scroll sometimes because it's kind of fun. But I don't know if I need to scroll for an hour or 2 hours a day. I'm never going to tell my... Josh, I know you're back there somewhere. Never going to tell my 16-year-old. He's going to be 16 tomorrow. Wish him a happy birthday if you see him around here. I'm never going to tell him he can never play another Xbox game. We'd have, like, major turmoil if that ever happened, right? But I can say, maybe here's how much, right? Listen, all of these pressures coming at us, all of these things trying to distract us from saying to ourselves, wait a minute, my body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm supposed to use it because it was bought with a price to glorify him, and I need to be thinking about what that looks like and what that should mean in the context of the world that I'm living in right now. Can you imagine that my dad, when he was a little boy born in 1929, the context of the world there was, maybe you shouldn't listen to the radio so much, you know? Didn't even have TV, right? And then it came in some of our era, it was TV. Oh, maybe you shouldn't watch TV so much. I'm really going to age myself. But then MTV and ESPN. Man, when those things first came on, man, we'd go to our friends' houses who had cable TV so we could watch MTV and ESPN. Crazy, right? My point is, every time in history, there are those things. And this time of history, we know that these are massive things that are really distracting and pulling at us. So, my body's not my own. I'm filled with the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm supposed to use it to glorify him. The second one is two passages that I put together here. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. And this is similar to 2 Corinthians 10:5. We destroyed arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to the mind of Christ. So I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, my body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, and now I can actually put on the mind of Christ, and I now actually can take each thought captive with the mind of Christ and see things how Christ sees them. And I can access and understand God's perspective, and I can do that through the Word, I can do it through prayer, I can do it through His Spirit speaking to me, I do it through the community of believers. And it's this beautiful picture that sometimes I'm just doing life and not stopping and saying, wait a minute, I need to take every thought captive with the mind of Christ. And is that what I'm supposed to be doing with the mind of Christ right now? And is this how the mind of Christ would see this? And how can I mature in the mind of Christ when I'm being distracted by so many other minds? There's a lot of minds out there. Actual thinking minds that put all kinds of stuff out here. And so actually I'm consuming the minds that everybody else's thoughts and what they're thinking instead of the mind of Christ. And so how do I make adjustments so that I'm knowing that it's the mind of Christ that I'm thinking on? And then finally, the passage that Alyssa read, my favorite passage. This is one of those that had a huge impact on my life personally back when I was younger. It says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Anybody out there thinking you could use a little more peace in your life? Amen? The peace. There we go. Hey, I tell you what, I worry all the time when I'm up here with my phone. One of my favorite stories is I have a friend who is a pastor's wife. We used to be co-workers, and she'd go, yeah, my kids would call me right in the middle of the sermon just to get me. And I thought that was great. So all of those things, and this passage, one of the beautiful things, it tells us what we're supposed to be thinking about. Now, a real side note here, if you're a think-too-much person, this passage changed my life because the Apostle Paul said, go ahead and think. Now, think-too-much people, everybody tells you what's the solution. Stop thinking so much. You're like, yeah, if I could do that, I would do that, right? But here's the thing, and this is a side note here, but I hope that you'll take this with you. What the Apostle Paul taught me from this passage was while I couldn't control how much I thought, I could control what I thought about. My mind still races all the time. It's never quiet. I go to bed, it's going. I wake up, it's going. I ask my wife what she's thinking, and she says nothing. And I'm like, what in the world? How could that possibly be? That can't happen. Okay. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, let's take the passages we've just talked about. Being the temple of the Holy Spirit, putting on the mind of Christ, I now could start to say, well, I can't control it, but I can say, I'm going to think about what's true. I'm going to think about what's honorable and just and pure and lovely. And when a thought would come to me that wasn't true, I'd be like, I'm not going to listen to that. Now, that was a long, hard battle to do this at first because those thoughts came back like that. But as time went on, I began to like, I'm not even thinking like that anymore. I'm thinking about what's commendable. Oh, that's not an excellent thought. Get out. That's not a praiseworthy thought. And the Spirit of the living God wants to do this in your life and my life. He wants to start to transform us so that we will think about whatever's true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable and excellent and worthy of praise. And then, he says, the promise is the God of peace is going to come along. One of the things we're finding about the digital world, it is causing massive amounts of anxiety. And it is not bringing us peace and calm. It's bringing us distraction and anxiety and anxiousness. And Jesus says, I got a way better way. I got a way better way. I'm going to give you the mind of Christ, which is the mind of peace. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit that's going to help you understand what is true and honorable and just and lovely. Here's a couple of commentators, Enduring Word. Here's how they put it. Noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praiseworthy. These, Paul would say, are the fruit and the food of the mind that is guarded by the peace of God. When we put these good things into our mind, they stay in our mind and then they come forth from us. Isn't that a great picture? When I'm putting the right food into my mind, the right kinds of things are going to come out of that. Here's another part of the commentary. Meditate on these things, the things from Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Much of the Christian life comes down to the mind. Romans 12, 2 speaks of the essential place of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And 2 Corinthians 10, 5, which we looked at, speaks of the importance of casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What we choose to meditate on matters. If I'm meditating on the mind of Christ, I'm meditating on the Word, I'm meditating on what He wants to be doing in my life, how He wants me to see things, I'm in a much better place than when I'm spending it here. Now again, I hope you hear what I'm saying in the balance of it all. I'm not saying I'm never going to use this again. I'm not saying I'm never watching another football game. For sure not saying that, right? Not saying I'm never going to watch another video on Prime or Hulu. But I'm saying that what we want to see happen is us control those things, not those things control us. And that being filled with the Spirit of God so that I can use those things for the tools that they are instead of having those things control who I am and what I'm about. Here's my burden today from this message. First, that you would ask the hard question, what is forming you? That's what I'm hoping you'll ask, is what is forming you? My burden is that you would be proactive in seeking the things that form you. That you would be proactive in saying, okay, what are the things that I do want to have input into my life? And I would suggest that it be the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ, and the fellowship of the believers. That we would be proactive in saying, I'm going to be in the Word, proactive, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to me while I'm in the Word. I'm going to be proactive in seeking and trying to understand the mind of Christ. I'm going to be proactive in the fellowship of the believers where I have other people speak into my life and see the things that I might be missing and help me in my journey, because it's a hard journey, this side of heaven. My burden is that you would take steps to control your use of the digital world and to not let your use of the digital world control you. Let me say that again, that you would take steps to control your use of the digital world and not let it control you. And part of my pastoral burden in all this is that you would continue to mature in your faith. I'm going to be held accountable for some of the maturity of your faith. And you are going to be held accountable for your part of it, but I'm going to be held accountable as your pastor for my part and bringing you to and guiding you to maturity in Christ. It's serious business. And so that you would continue to mature in your faith, that's the ultimate desire of my heart, so that Christ would be glorified in you. Colossians 1:28 says, Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That's what Paul was doing. That's what my passion and my heart and my calling is as a pastor. All right, so what are some practical things we can do here? First, we've got practicing the way. Practicing the way, as Jason talked about, is basically two things. One is asking the questions about what is forming us, and two, using what we used to call spiritual disciplines. The spiritual disciplines are the tools that God has made available to help us mature in our faith. He's given us some things like His Word, prayer, silence, solitude, fasting. There's any number of things that we could say God has given us these things, these tools, so that we can mature in our faith and know Him better. And so that's part of this journey with the city groups, is that we would stop and say, man, am I being proactive and taking steps and introducing things into my daily practice and my daily life, just like I brush my teeth, just like I comb my hair, I actually do that, and just like I do all of those routines in my day, is there some routines that I'm starting to do that help me form spiritually and grow and mature as a Christian? Second one, and Jason, I'm going to ask your help with this. I think I left them in the pew over here, is the stack of about the digital fast that we're doing in January. They might be there, they might not be there. I can find them afterwards. One of my gifts, the gifts of setting things down places that they don't pick them up. There they are. Yep. Maybe grab a couple of people to help you pass those out. And we're just going to ask you to take one and take a look at it. Pastor Mike put this together, and it's really a really great tool that we're going to ask you to consider for the month of January, doing a digital fast. And you know what? You got to modify it where I'm going to be checking my emails. I'm going to be, you know, using text. I'm going to try to do the rest of the things that are on this, okay? And we want to invite you to do that as well. So we're going to invite you to this digital fast in January, and it kind of explains it to you. So, actual applications here. Practicing the way, consider the digital fast, and the idea behind it is resisting the allure of a constant digital presence, to be present where you are with the people that you're with and spending some time with Christ, okay? Two more that are just super practical. One is that you would commit anew to reading and studying the Bible. You cannot mature in your faith and knowing Jesus more deeply without being in the Word of God. I will say that till the day I die, that it just cannot happen. We want it to happen because it's easier to say, oh, Jesus, just show me something. It's from the Word that we get the truth of who Jesus is, what he wants us to know, who God is, his nature and his character, what his desires of how we should live is, and how we come to faith. So I'm asking you from this message, in order to combat all of the digital forces that are coming at us and to mature in our faith, is that you would commit anew to being in the Bible and to studying it. Now, maybe you're saying right now, well, I'm already doing that. Great, commit anew to keep at it. So if you're already doing that, just today I'm just going to ask you to commit to yourself. I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to stop. If that's not become a practice in your life, I'm going to just plead with you, actually. I'm not trying to make people feel guilty. I'm actually pleading with you to be in the Word so that you can be mature in the faith. And if you don't know how to do that, I put my email, I think, up there, dean@rockhillcc.org. Just shoot me an email. I'll have some really practical ideas about how you can just get into the Word in simple ways, okay? And so I'm just going to plead with you, in order to be mature in Christ, to combat all of the forces that are coming at you, not just digital forces, all the other things of life, you need to be in the Word. And the last thing is, for some of you today, maybe you haven't put your faith in Jesus, and you're listening to all this, and you're going, I haven't even come to that place yet. I invite you to do that today, to believe that Jesus really did come in the flesh, and that Jesus really did die on the cross, and that Jesus really did raise again from the dead. And when you put your faith in him, you can receive forgiveness and salvation and eternal life. I invite you to do that today. That's part of my burden from this message today, that you would say, yeah, man, I've been distracted by all kinds of things, not just digital things, but all kinds of other things in life, and I need to be right with God, and I want to know who Jesus is and have a personal relationship with him. Listen, I want to close with this. Would you hear me now? Would you come on back? Jesus loves you so much that he came to earth. He died on a cross. He rose from the dead. He filled you with his Holy Spirit. He is present with you. Are you present with him? That's what I want to leave you with. He is present with you. Are you present with him? Don't let something like this keep you from being present with him. Amen? I'm going to invite you, just take a moment. Just bow your heads. Listen to what God might be saying to you. I know it's a different message today. Would you just hear what he might be saying to you this morning? And then we're going to close with some songs of worship and a time of communion.